You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
Hello, this week, fertilisers, firebombs, fossy jaw and food additives. What's the connection? Here's Nina Notman.
Phosphorus is a non-metal that sits just below nitrogen in group 15 of the periodic table. This element exists in several forms, of which white and red are the best known. White phosphorus is definitely the more exciting of the two. As it glows in the dark, is dangerously flammable in air above 30 degrees, and is a deadly poison. Red phosphorus, however, has none of these fascinating properties. So where did it all begin? Phosphorus was first made by Henning Brandt in Hamburg in Germany in 1669, when he evaporated urine and heated the residue until it was red hot. Glowing phosphorus vapour came off, and he condensed it under water. And for more than 100 years, most phosphorus was made this way. This was until people realised that bone was a great source of phosphorus. Bone can be dissolved in sulfuric acid to form phosphoric acid, which is then heated with charcoal to form white phosphorus. White phosphorus has found a range of rather nasty applications in warfare. It was used in the 20th century in tracer bullets, firebombs, and smoke grenades. The scattering of phosphorus firebombs over cities in World War II caused widespread death and destruction. In July 1943, Hamburg was subject to several air raids in which 25,000 phosphorus bombs were dropped over vast areas of the city. This is rather ironic considering where phosphorus was first made. Another group of warfare agents based on phosphorus are nerve gases such as sarin. Sarin is a fluorinated phosphonate that was used by Iraq against Iran in the early to mid-1980s. It was also released in a Tokyo subway in 1995, killing 12 people and harming nearly 1,000 others. White phosphorus has also found a wide range of other uses. One of these was in phosphorus matches that were first sold in Stockton-on-Tees in the UK in 1827. This created a whole new industry of cheap lights, but at a terrible cost. Breathing in phosphorus vapour led to the industrial disease phosphy jaw, which slowly ate away the jawbone. This condition particularly afflicted the girls who made phosphorus matches, so they were eventually banned in the early 1900s and were replaced by modern matches that use phosphorus sulfide or red phosphorus. As well as in matches, today phosphorus has found other uses in lighting. Magnesium phosphide is the basis of self-igniting warning flares used at sea. When it reacts with water, it forms a spontaneously flammable gas, diphosphide, which triggers the lighting of the flare. Super pure phosphorus is also used to make light-emitting diodes. These LEDs contain metal phosphides such as those of gallium and indium. In the natural world, the elemental form of phosphorus is never encountered. It is only seen as phosphate, and phosphate is essential to life for numerous reasons. It is also part of DNA and also constitutes a huge proportion of teeth enamel and bones in the form of calcium phosphate. Organophosphates are also important, such as the energy molecule ATP and the phospholipids of cell membranes. A normal diet provides our bodies with the phosphate it needs, with tuna, chicken, eggs and cheese having lots, and even cola providing us with some in the form of phosphoric acid. Today, most of our phosphorus comes from the phosphate rock that was mined around the world and then converted into phosphoric acid. 50 million tonnes are made every year, and it has multiple uses. It is used to make fertilisers, animal feeds, rust removers, corrosion preventers, and even dishwasher tablets. Some phosphate rock is also heated with coke and sand in an electric furnace to form white phosphorus, which is then converted to phosphorus trichloride and phosphorus acid. And it is from these that flame retardants, insecticides and weed killers are made. A little is also turned into phosphorus sulfides, which are used as oil additive to reduce engine wear. Phosphate is also environmentally important. It naturally moves from soil to rivers to ocean to bottom sediment. Here it accumulates until it's moved by geological uplift to dry land, so the circle can start again. During its journey, phosphate passes through many plants, microbes and animals of various ecosystems. Too much phosphate, however, can be damaging to natural waters because it encourages unwanted species like algae to flourish. These then crowd out other forms of desired life. There is now a legal requirement to remove phosphate from wastewaters in many parts of the world, and in the future, this could be recycled as a sustainable resource, so that one day, the phosphate we flush down sinks and toilets might reappear in our homes in other guises, such as in dishwasher tablets, or even in our food and colas.
Nina Notman with the tale of phosphorus, the element extracted from the golden stream, otherwise known as urine. Next time, Andrea Seller will be joining us with the explosive story of element number 53.
In 1811, a young French chemist, Bernard Courtois, working in Paris, stumbled across a new element. His family's firm produced saltpeter, needed to make gunpowder for Napoleon's wars. They used wood ash in their process, and wartime shortages of wood forced them instead to burn seaweed. Adding concentrated sulfuric acid to the ash, Courtois obtained an unexpected purple vapor that crystallized onto the sides of the container. Astonished by this discovery, he bottled up the grayish crystals and sent them to one of the foremost chemists of his day, Joseph Gay-Lussac, who confirmed that this was a new element and named it iode, iodine, after the Greek word for purple.
And you can hear more about how iodine exploded onto the world stage on next week's Chemistry in Its Element. I hope you can join us. I'm Chris Smith, thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.